throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of stuff. Do you know what happened on this day in 2002 in the world of sports?
2002,
right here on January 19th, 2002.
I was a senior in high school. 2002.
One of the most influential moments in sports history.
I know it.
What?
The Tuck Rule.
Tuck Rule Vinatieri game. That's exactly right. We're going to talk about what led up to that and how that changed the world of sports as we know it on a snowy night in Foxborough with the Pats and the Raiders. College football. College football news. I know you have your dislike of some of that with one of those writers, Pete Fiotak, it being one of them. But they put out their list of the all-time greatest college football programs, and they quantified it.
Just check his record when he picks games, but go ahead.
They quantified it with the AP poll. So starting in 1936, all the way up through the present, and they assigned values for the finishes in the AP poll. And here's how they did it. The AP national titleist each year got 25. So number one got 25. Number two got 24. You can see how this is going, right? Down the list.
Yeah.
Interesting list, I thought.
Okay.
So we can talk about that. There's some teams that have won national titles, won multiple national titles that you can't find in the top 10. There's some teams in the top 10 that are a little bit surprising and maybe going down. And who's coming up from below there? Lots of different things. I think that's an interesting dive into the history of basically the AP poll in college football and how the programs stack up currently from 1936 to now with their finishes there. We can hit that. High school hoops last night. Man, good game down in Cache. Holy cow, that boys game was phenomenal. The Elks, not quite enough to win, but it was a heck of a game. Rehash that. The West Central Tournament semifinals and consolation semifinals are set after the first 2 days. We can hit that. A bunch of the other Paragon schools as well that played a regular season game before tournament week starts again tomorrow. So we'll hit the high school hoops. Sooners fall to Kansas last night. Couldn't hold on down the stretch. Florida State knocked off Duke. There are some amazing numbers for one Leonard Hamilton and the Florida State program coming out of that win in overtime on their home floor against the Duke Blue Devils, we can talk about as well. And then programming note for tomorrow, 9:30. We kind of played phone tag back and forth, but Coach Zach Maynard, brand new head coach of the Big Elk football program, will be in the house 9:30 tomorrow. Talk about his vision for what the brown and white looks like moving forward under his direction on the football field. So that's going to be a lot of fun there to get him in here and kind of introduce him out to the listening audience. Tomorrow morning, 9:30, Zach Maynard, head coach of the Big Elks, will be in the house. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. Talking about any of those things, whatever else might be in your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with us. You can log on to kadsam.com, live stream us that way, or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all, man. Three radio stations, Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Print edition will start to filter out this evening into tomorrow. You can pick up a free copy everywhere by tomorrow afternoon. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, lots of high school basketball coming up this weekend with the second regular season tournament week here in January that we can go over all of that stuff tomorrow with the brackets and whatnot, where everybody will be. Bunch of people will be in two places, basically, Weatherford or Merritt. As far as the Paragon schools, a lot of them are converging at that bi-county tournament out at Merritt. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and listen on demand. KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe to it, and then you're alerted when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I'm a little tired. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. A little bit tired. JV games ran a little late, so that meant the varsity games didn't start till about 15 minutes after when the scheduled tip-off time was. And then, of course, a double overtime game to finish up the night on the boys' side. And next thing I know, I was in Altus at like 11:30 still. So,
yeah,
a little bit of a long night. But
I know how I felt yesterday morning.
Yes.
Because I got home a little late Monday night.
But that's
that's the nature of the beast, right?
And you know, it
comes with the territory.
I knew it was good games because even when I got home, I was pretty tired. But I still kind of had that adrenaline flowing a little bit with the way that the Elk City boys game finished off. Talk about those two to start. What?
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about it. What happened?
First off, the Elkettes, dominant. Probably, best game they played all year. More than likely. I mean, Cash, not the best opponent they faced for sure, but they're not as bad as some of the other teams that the Elkettes have whipped up on as of late. And Elk City fell behind 2-0 early, then ripped off 15 straight to take a 15-2 lead. I think Cash got that thing down in double figures once in the late second quarter, but Elk City just always had the answer offensively, and that's a season-high 57 points scored last night. Wiley Yarbrough set a career high of 21. She really got things started in the first quarter, knocking down a couple of threes in back-to-back possessions, actually had 11 first-quarter points.
Wow.
And then Kaylin Burton, man, Coach Hamm mentioned it in the halftime interview with him at halftime of the boys' game last night, her story. And, you know, she played a little bit as a freshman. Then last year was completely wiped out as a sophomore. She had a hip surgery, and she was unable to hit the floor. And so now you're coming into your junior year as one of the starting, basically the starting point guard, yet you hadn't played a bunch because of missing out on an entire year as a sophomore. And you could just see, like, the confidence her just starting to bubble over with Kaylin last night. She made a couple of free throws early on. And then next thing you know, in the second quarter, she goes back-to-back possessions, knocking down threes. And she had a career-high 13. And that's just it seemed like she's been on the cusp the last few games of really breaking out. And then all of a sudden, there she was. You know, 11 first-half points, only two in the second half. But they really didn't need her to score because of the way they played defense. Only allowed 2 points in the third quarter after leading by 14 at half. I mean, that's really good stuff by the Elkettes. So they're now even 5-5. Won four, let's see, three of their last four, and they've got Star Spencer tomorrow at 2:30 in the first round of the tournament down in Altus. So a great performance by the Elkettes, 19 of 22 from the free throw line. You know, Abby Robbins didn't score a point in the first three quarters. She had 8 in the fourth quarter, 6 for 6 from the line. And there was a time there where Cash had kind of cut the 19-point lead down to 12, you know, kind of on the cusp of maybe making a run to put some pressure on the Elkettes. And Abby Joe steps to the free throw line and makes all 6 fourth-quarter free throws. You know, just kind of put the hand out and said, nope.
Right.
You're staying at arm's length, and you're not going to be able to really scare us here in the fourth
quarter. That's what a good team does. They don't let those momentum runs affect them. They snuff it out early. So that's awesome. It sounds like they're starting to, I don't want to say peak, but start to roll a little bit here at the right time.
Yeah, maybe turn a little bit of a quarter, a little bit of a corner. At an even 5-5, and here's the truth of it, and this goes for both teams. This next week and a half is huge for playoff pairings, because if you know the Elks last night, golly, you just think back with Pampa dropping that one in a game that they really controlled most of last night, coming back and having a chance to sneak that one into the win column. If you get those two, both teams at 5-5. Now, if you could be successful down at Altus, beat Sayre, see what happens against Blanchard and Weatherford at the end of the week. But, you know, you're hovering at or above that 500 mark. How does that affect your playoff pairings in a positive manner?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the truth of it is, the last 2 years, the Elkettes and the Big Elks have had such lean records that you look up and you're playing Kingfisher in district. That ain't what you want.
No.
And it's certainly not what you've wanted the last couple of years, because especially on the boys' side, you're knowing a 99% chance that you're starting off the regional tournament in the loser's bracket. And then you're fighting for your life to just to get to area, right?
Right.
Whereas if you can win some of these games, you're not going to be the favorite, but you'd rather play, you know, Clinton, Weatherford. Those teams are really playing well, but you'd rather that than what you had in Kingfisher the last 2 years, right? I mean, there's not a ton of a chance. I mean, it's not like you're a favorite or anything, but there's way more of a chance there than there would have been against those Yellow Jacket teams of the past 2 years. So these games are really, really important moving forward to finish off, because the rankings get locked in on January 31st. So a week from Monday, this coming Monday, is when they're going to be locked in. So you have this time to kind of stack some wins together so that when it comes down time to draw those pairings up after the rankings are stacked in, you're not going to be in the top 20. But, you know, if you're, you know, you're talking about like 9-6 is a lot better than, you know, 3-10. And so really important games coming up for both squads. The Elks, man, they just played their tail off. Fell behind. It's 48-34 going into the fourth quarter, down 14. They outscore Cash 14-0. Make all 7 fourth quarter free throws to get back into the game. Cole Bowie didn't score a point all night long. He was saddled with foul trouble. You look up, the Elks shoot a 3 to try to take the lead with 30 seconds left. They miss it. He gets the offensive rebound, slithers through two guys, and lays it in to tie it. His only bucket of the night was the tire to send it into to overtime. And sophomore Caden Dunlap, he had a career high last night of 24. He knocked down 6 threes, 1 in the overtime with down there 20-ish seconds left, down 3, hits a step back 3 on the left wing to send it into double overtime. And then the Elks just kind of ran out of gas. A couple of fouls, free throws. They missed a block out on a missed free throw, down 3, that, you know, just kind of made it a 2-possession game, and they couldn't get back all the way. But they lose 67-60, double overtime. Fought their tail off. It's just kind of the story of this season for the Elks. It seems like just unable to kind of get there and finish off some of these games at the end.
Well, it's better than the alternative of just laying over, you know.
Oh, 100%.
They're fighting, and that's what it's going to take. Is kind of like the football program, you know. There's games where we saw that they'd fight and fight, and then they'd come up short because they just run out of gas or something like that. I'm looking at the positives. You know, you want to continue to see them the fight, and every once in a while, you might surprise a couple teams if you continue to play like that, and then you're just laying the base, and you're just setting the standards and you know, for your future of the program. And I'm not just talking about the end of this season. I'm talking about going forward with Coach Stevens and who he has coming up. So that's all you could ask, right? Just continue to fight. And I mean, sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce the way you want it to.
Well, and that's the truth of it is, if you lay down in the fourth quarter, you never get a chance to miss that box out in double overtime.
There you go.
You know, all of those moments out there with a bunch of young guys learning and trying to figure out what to do at the end of games, yeah, you're right. It pays dividends later on down the road with a young team. I mean, you look up and with Vivek not out there with an illness, you got one senior and everybody else has come back next year. Yep. Now, it's the biggest guy you got, obviously, with Joe. But, you know, Blake Redd's done a good job off the bench at times trying to protect the rim and you know, be a force in the paint on both sides of the ball. So that there's definitely, you know, it's one of those you want to see those guys and the effort and the fight that they have displayed rewarded with wins. It's just simply not happening right now.
That could actually be a good thing if you think about it. If they get into the playoffs, and they could be overlooked. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know, just don't want to. You don't want to fall so far.
Some people can go, oh, well, look at their record, or you know, and then here comes the fighting Big Elks, and you could again surprise some people. But on the other side of it, people go, hey, don't let that record fool you. This team's going to fight you. We better bring your A game.
Yeah, the problem is you don't want to fall so far that you're playing just like what I talked about, right, like, in the last couple of years,
right,
with a team that's unbeatable. You know, I don't know that that's out there this year, but it's just the example of what's happened the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The Elks will play Altus 7:00 Thursday in that first round down there in the tournament at Altus. So good chances, I think, for both teams to get wins, then move into Friday. Friday could be a wild day because it's only a 16 tournament. So winners from Thursday play Friday. If you lose that first game on Friday, you play two. So it could be a long day down in Altus. Whataburger may have to be hit a couple of different times. No, just teasing, but not really.
They have an Applebee's.
Around the area last night, the Arapahoe Butler Lady Indians knocked off Burns Flatdale City 55-13 in the West Central basketball tournament. So they move into the semifinals. Man, tomorrow is pretty juicy over there at Weatherford. You got Hydro Weekly and Thomas at 7 on the girls' side. Calumet and Arapahoe Butler. They just played a pretty good game last, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Or a week ago. I guess it was Friday. Yeah. So Calumet, Arapahoe Butler, 4:30. That's the girls' game. Boys' nightcap. Almost looks like a state tournament game. Hydro Weekly, Arapahoe Butler, number 1 and number 5 in Class A, going at it at 8:15. Then down on the bottom of that bracket, on the winner's side, Burns Flatdale City, Calumet, after the Eagles knocked off the Sentinel Bulldogs. Maybe a little bit of a surprise there. So good stuff over there Thursday. Then, of course, you'll be there Friday with Canute taking on Corn Bible Academy on Friday night in the consolation bracket. Elsewhere, last night, Hammond dominated Sweetwater in both games. Lady Warriors 80-33 winners. The Warriors 83-50. Merritt put it to Cordell twice. The Oilerettes continue to roll 62-33 over the Lady Blue Devils. Important week for them too. Just outside.
Yeah, remember 2A. I always forget 2A.
That's right.
Yeah, they got another week.
Oilerettes just outside of the top 8 in 2A. With a win in this bye county, you're talking ceiling, you're talking Hammond, chances at both of those.
Incredibly impressive wins. Yes, if they can do it, yes.
That's right. The Oilers win 58-30 over Cordell. Shattuck took two from Cheyenne Raiden, 48-42 on the girls' side, at 61-44 on the boys. And then I'm starting to kind of pay a little bit more attention to what's going on down I-40 with the playoffs looming, and maybe one of these two teams could be a district opponent moving forward for the Elks and the Elkettes. Weatherford blew out Altus twice, 73-14 on the girls, 75-22 on the boys. Clinton gets two good wins. Elgin was in the dome last night. The girls win 57-34. The boys, 54-42 winners over the Elgin Owls. So,
you know, a score stood out to me.
What?
You know, on the girls' side in 4A. Did you see what Tuttle did to Newcastle?
77-5.
Yeah. Feels like Tuttle and Weatherford are just on a collision course.
I've seen Newcastle. Not surprising.
Well,
no, I mean, it's just not. I mean, that's a mismatch.
I get that, but 5 points in, 32 minutes, it's come on. that's saying something. I wonder what, I know that's a rivalry. I wonder how long Tuttle kept their ones in there.
Probably not very long.
Yeah, yes.
I'm just
But Tuttle's
you.
Really, really good. Weatherford's really, really good. They just feel like they're on a path to the big house, maybe on a Saturday.
Yeah, honestly, probably not very long. I'd like to see the quarter splits in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Tuttle could have scored 30 or 40 in a quarter. They're not very good.
Tuttle is?
No. Newcastle's not very good.
Okay.
I mean, they lost 55-24 to the Elkettes.
Yeah.
So, trouble scoring. Let's just put it that way.
Clearly.
Trouble scoring.
Jeez.
And Tuttle's not one of those teams you really want to play if you have trouble scoring. Big 12 last night. Sooners fall to Kansas, 67-64. Oklahoma outscored 12-6 in the final 3 minutes of that one. Christian Brown hits a huge three with 11 seconds left to give the Jayhawks the three-point lead that they would hang on to and win. It just Oklahoma two games straight now where they've been unable to finish down
Gotta
the stretch.
Finish.
Listen, the Big 12 is off the charts tough.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a winning record. Everybody outside of OSU has 10 wins already, and OSU just beat Baylor on the road, right?
Kansas State won last night.
And they beat Texas Tech this weekend. They won two straight over ranked teams.
We knew going in that Big 12 was a murderer's row of games back-to-back. It just doesn't stop.
It's brutal, but you got to be able to win some of these close ones, and Oklahoma's dropped two in a row.
Yeah, if you're OU, you should have won that TCU
or three in a row
game.
Now.
I didn't see the stats, but as far as how long they led that game and then they let TCU come back, OU was lucky, let's call it lucky, to get into overtime, and then they lose that one. You got to win those road games. Those are ones you have to steal on the road. TCU's good, I get it, but those OU, I thought that night or that afternoon was better, and they let it get away from them. Last night, you have KU, you know, they fought and battled Kansas down at 10 at one point, came back. And when I saw, they're up two with like 4 minutes left, and I thought to myself, okay, they got to finish. And they did not. Those are the games you got to finish. But let's face it. I mean, no one had any expectations for OU coming into this year. You know, first-year head coach and all of that. It's nice to say, yeah, they can fight. We just talked about that. But, you know, the future might be bright. But, man, games like that, those come back to haunt you when you lose. I mean, right, they could finish 7th, 8th place by the margin of 3 or 4 points. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Of not winning games. But whatever. Move on. West Virginia.
Baylor.
I'm looking at the girls' schedule. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. Baylor's coming up on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't get any easier, does it?
No, it's all the way through the conference. You mentioned Kansas State knocking off Texas last night. Baylor kind of righted the ship with a win in Morgantown over West Virginia after dropping 2 straight on their home floor over the weekend, one to Oklahoma State and
Texas
Tech.
Yeah, I kind of wish that game was back in Waco.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's tough every night. But when you have the chances to get those signature wins, would have been the 4th win over a ranked opponent this year for Oklahoma. And those are just things that build that resume coming moving forward when it's time for the selection.
Yeah, you want to avoid that bubble. I mean, I know they have those nice non-conference wins, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of open spots and not enough – or a lot of deserving teams and not enough spots. And OU could be in that fringe area unless they start getting some wins here.
I think the last bracketology I saw, 8 of the 9 eligible teams from the Big 12 were in the tournament.
Listen,
and that was before. That's before Kansas State just won 2 games against ranked teams.
There you go.
That's where
there was some question: was SEC is the SEC the best basketball conference, or is the Big 12? That's always going to be a debate. And right now, Big 12 looks incredibly strong, top to bottom.
It's not even close when you come to depth. Now, are there some that maybe have more high quality teams at the top?
You're going to look at ranked teams.
That's
right. You got your Kentucky. You got Auburn, that arguably could be the best team in the country right now. Who am I missing? Tennessee is going to fight you every night. I'm sure I'm missing others. But Florida, I don't know, Florida's kind of taking a dip. But right now, top to bottom.
It's not close.
It is Big 12.
Yeah, it's really not close.
I made the mistake, and I don't know why we're not talking about it, but how about, I mean, what's going on with the women's program, OU? They're winning games, and now they're highest ranking since what did I see? 2012?
I think there's a reason why we're not talking about it.
Because it's women's basketball?
Yeah.
All right, Jim.
I don't know that. No, I mean, it's not, I don't know how much of an appetite there is out there for anyone to.
Well, it's just the story of it is a first-year head coach, and all of a sudden it's turned around. You'd think you'd give it a 2 or 3 years, but they got some scores on the team, one of the highest scoring teams in the nation, ranked 14th. How high could they go?
The coaching hires at Oklahoma appeared to be good ones.
Well, Joe C. has had a good record of that. That's why it didn't matter who he got to lead the Big 12 or the OU football program. He felt like it was going to be a good hire anyways.
He seems to have the magic touch.
He does. He does.
Florida State knocked off Duke last night on their home floor in overtime. Number 6 Duke or number 5 or the 6, I think. Listen, Leonard Hamilton set a record last night.
Really?
Former Oklahoma State coach. Leonard's been down there at Florida State. You know, he's like 73 or 4.
Really?
That dude looks like he's like 40.
I was going to say that.
He's way old.
Wow.
He's definitely in his 70s.
Man, him and Nick Saban going to the same spa or
yes,
something.
Yes, maybe so. Down there somewhere in the southeast.
Somewhere down there.
Leonard, it was his 55th win against an AP Top 25 team as an unranked team. So his team is unranked. And that's the 55th time they've got a win in the AP poll era dating back to 1948.
Now, what's that tell you? One, he can beat ranked teams. Two, he can't get his team ranked.
Well, you know, maybe not as good against the teams he's supposed to beat.
Yeah.
But that breaks a tie he had with Bob Knight.
Wow.
That 55th win. It's the most in the history, like I said, since the AP poll has been intact since 1948. And also, listen to this. This is nuts. Last night's overtime win for Florida State. Their 13th straight overtime win. 13 straight overtime games they have won. That is the longest streak in the history of Division I college basketball.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. How, what, the breaks
yeah.
that
I mean,
you
talk
have
about
to
the ball
get.
Bouncing the right yes. way.
To win 13 straight overtime games. But that's what Florida State did last night in knocking off Duke.
Wow. That is something.
I mean, you'd think eventually, like, somebody would just heave one in on you.
Yeah. Buzzer beater or something, or going
something
a run
crazy,
or
yeah.
something.
You get somebody fouling out at the wrong time.
Well, you're playing that many overtime games, you're
You're bound to lose one.
Well, yeah, or you know how to coach in them.
Yeah, I guess that may be it.
As I mentioned earlier, Zach Maynard, head coach of the Big Elks, tomorrow, 9:30. Tomorrow, 9:30, Zach Maynard in the house to talk about his vision for the Brown and White. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. His energy, he's got a lot of it, man. So get a good night's sleep, Jared, so we can be on our toes.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Not a problem.
Okay, so college football news. It's they do this ever so often. I don't know if it's every off season.
Collegefootballnews.com. Yeah. That's what you're. Okay, I thought you were going to tell us some college football news. I got you. Okay.
No. It's a website.
Yeah, that website. Yeah.
And so they put this together. I'm not sure if it's every season. I feel like it is in the off season after the final AP poll comes out.
I think they do.
It's an all time ranking of the greatest college football programs in the AP poll era. And so that they use the AP poll as a way to quantify results for teams. You know, and that for the longest time, kids, before there was a playoff and a BCS, the AP poll is who crowned the national champion.
Right.
All the way up until 1998. That's what happened.
Right.
You played bowl games and dudes voted. Doesn't seem as good as what we have now, actually playing games on the field.
You got to games.
I get it.
You felt like, if this team wins this game, they're going to be the national champion. And they were celebrating it as such on the field like that.
The only problem with that was it might be multiple games where teams thought that, i.e. 1997 with Michigan in the Rose Bowl and Nebraska in the Orange Bowl.
Right.
And the problem with that is I said two different bowls, meaning they didn't play. They both had a claim to a national title.
Yeah.
And they both end up winning a split national title. So you can obviously see the problem.
Yeah.
When it's not decided on the field. So
thus the BCS was born.
That's correct. Literally the next year. And so when you look at the – really only one surprise to me in the top five, I'm a little surprised. And I'm not only a little surprised, but I'm also surprised by the margin from five to six with the points that were tallied up. So the top five, it's not going to surprise you very much as far as who the names are. Maybe the order a little bit. So OU's 1, Bama 2, Ohio State 3. Then there's a decent drop to number 4 as far as the points. Those three are all separated by 17 points. And as I said earlier, here's how those points are divvied out. If you win the title, you get 25. So right. Number 1 gets 25 all the way down the list until number 25 gets a point, right? I mean, that's just how that's chalked up since 1936, including this year's poll. So between Oklahoma and Ohio State, there's 17 points difference. So that's with Bama in between them,
yeah.
So that's bunched up pretty good.
Pretty good.
So it's a kind of a clear top three. Then it drops down. You can kind of draw a line there, and then you get 4 and 5. No surprise Notre Dame's number 4 to me. A little surprise Michigan's 5th.
With all those wins.
They got a lot of wins, and so obviously that helps with the AP poll. But
sure.
And then USC, it's a pretty big drop from Michigan to USC, then down to 6. Nebraska, Texas, Penn State, and Tennessee round out the top 10. But I'm a little surprised, and here's why. When you look at national titles, USC's won 3 more than Michigan. And so, you know, that's the longevity, the wins, like you're talking about, which builds points in final AP polls.
Right.
I get it. I'm surprised Michigan's 5th, and I'm really surprised by the margin they're ahead of USC, because I wouldn't, in my mind, and it's totally national title driven, I put USC ahead of Michigan because it feels like they win more than the Wolverines.
Yeah,
I mean, think about how long it's been since Michigan even won a Big Ten.
We can remember when USC was, you know, the Pete Carroll era. We can remember that in winning national titles and even winning the Pac-12 or playing for it towards the end of the year without Pete Carroll. Yeah, I think it's more of a recency bias thing in your mind that you're just, we can remember fight on Trojans before Hell the Victors.
Yeah, and Michigan won 13 Big Ten titles under Bo Schembechler. Nary a national title.
Yeah.
You know, that's where, and I guess another thing that kind of surprises me is because Michigan's also fighting against one of the top three on this list.
There you go.
In the same conference with Ohio State, whereas USC is out there in the Pacific Coast by themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I think, let me look back through this list, but I want to say they're the only team. No, UCLA made it in the Pac-10.
UCLA's
18.
They're 18.
And Washington's 23rd. So just
see, now that's a little shocking to me. UCLA that high.
Yeah, what if they won? I mean, seriously.
I mean, everyone thinks, you know, people love to throw UCLA on, as far as being on one of these upper pedigrees of football schools. When listen, they're a great basketball school, obviously. They had Troy Aikman. and they play in a historic venue that they can ever fill, right? In one of the biggest cities in the world. But I never really understood why they were always ranked up there. Are they because they're that close to USC?
I think it's the allure.
I don't get it.
It's the allure of LA. It's the sleeping giant aspect of maybe what they have. You know what I'm saying? Like the pot. I think it's more of a the idea of UCLA is better than UCLA.
If there was no such thing as a USC, then UCLA would be the USC.
Maybe so. Yeah, and it hurts being in the same town for sure.
Yeah.
When you look at this list, Michigan surprises me being fifth. It really not shocking or anything, but it surprised me. I figured they'd be sixth or seventh with USC in the top five. Who else kind of surprises you where they're at, either higher than you thought or maybe lower than what you thought?
You didn't mention – I mean, I guess Texas is pretty solid at nine. I can see that. Wow, okay. Here's one a little higher. I hope we're looking at the right list.
Are you looking at the AP poll all time?
Oh, my goodness, I'm looking at 70 to 79.
Okay, yeah. Go see above that where it says greatest?
Now, they're doing a – I thought this was college football news, not basketball or NFL football.
It's just right down the list. Just go down a couple of
final 2029.
It'll say all time.
Why do they break it up like this?
Because they want to show you each decade.
Because it's the off season and they don't have anything else to do.
That's correct. If you just click, are you in the 70? There's links up above where you can.
Well, okay. Tell me yours, and when I find it, I'll let you know.
Right, I'm a little surprised because of that streak, that 14-year streak of finishing in the AP top five that Florida State had. I'm a little bit surprised to see them at 14. Thought they'd be a little closer to the top 10. Now, all that does is show you that they had nothing before Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but at the same time, Bobby Bowden was there for 50 years, right? I mean, he was there for a long time and was very successful for a bunch of it. I'm a little surprised they're that low. I'm not surprised, however, of a team you see at 21. Texas A&M. 21. No surprise there.
Yeah.
Because this list reiterates the fact that they do nothing other than talk and other than think that they have this or that or the other with all the resources. It's an embarrassment. It ought to be an embarrassment to that program to see them at 21. You look who's right above them. Arkansas.
Oh, hey.
I don't think a lot of people would think that. If you just went around and said, hey, who's the better football program all time, Arkansas or A&M? I think a majority of people would say A&M because they would think, well, Arkansas hasn't been good since, gosh, the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, like really, really good.
Right. No, yeah. A&M, they're at 21, and we just talked about that UCLA team. They're above them. Michigan State's above them. Yeah. That you're right. As much talking as much claimed conference titles or whatever, or even national titles that they claim that they
They had one since 38
poster up on their wall. There they are at 21. I think a little low for me, and I found the list. I was surprised maybe they're this low, and I thought maybe they'd be a little closer to the top 10, if not in it. Was Miami?
Yeah, that's they're the outlier, right? Because
they're at 16.
When you look on the top 10, And then you look at the national title list. There's two teams not in the top 10 that are in the top five or six with national titles. Miami is one of them. They've won five. But here's the problem with a longevity study like this. Four of those came from 83 to 91.
Yeah. There's...
So now when you click on the 80s, Miami's going to be way above everybody.
Sure.
But that was kind of their decade of dominance. And then the rest of it's been a little lean. The other one, interestingly enough, is Minnesota. Minnesota's won four AP national titles. The problem for the Gophers is the last one came in 1960.
Yeah.
So, you know, there if you load up the first two or three decades, Minnesota's going to be way high on this list. Then you the problem is there's 62 years of study after that where the Gophers have fallen out of prominence.
Yeah,
so that's it's interesting you mentioned Miami.
Yeah.
Because from a they're the ones that show you as much as anybody else, a lot of discussion about USC in this vein since Lincoln Riley's gone out there as far as, man, when you get it going, you can really, really, really get it going. I think Miami is that program. When it's hot, it is white hot. But then either because of the location, being in a pro town, do people lose interest? Do they have to cheat to get there? You know, I mean, there's a lot of different factors go into why Miami's kind of that shooting star at times. But for the most part, pretty lean years in between those really high marks, especially back in the 80s for Miami.
Who did you think was too high? Did you say?
Michigan. I was surprised Michigan was fifth. I really was.
Okay.
I know about the wins, all-time wins and all that. And I'm a little – because I looked at this list probably 3 or 4 years ago and what's happened since, I'm a little surprised Alabama hadn't caught OU, to be real honest with you.
Yeah.
Because of what they've done. You know, this decade and the previous one as well. When you look at the top 10, who below there, who do you think is moving up and who do you think is going to continue to fall?
I'll answer the last part of that question first. I think Nebraska is going to continue to fall. They're at 7 right now. Quite frankly, surprised they're still there, but they're leaning on a bunch of past success. I mean, honestly, that's what OU's doing with those titles in the 50s and 70s, one in the 80s. I mean, that weighs in a lot. And then the top 10 finishes in the AP. Nebraska rode a lot of that, but not in the last 20 years or about roughly. That's when it started to fall. But they're still in the top 10. So I can see them to continue to drop if they can't write things. I think who can rise is maybe right. Maybe Tennessee.
Really? See, I have them on the fallen list.
Maybe Tennessee. Maybe. Feels like any time I want to put stock into Penn State, they let me down, this year included. Texas is always going to be Texas. I'm not ready to rise them up yet. So that maybe Tennessee. Do they have their guy? Heupel just won, like, the best first-year coach award, along with Shane Beamer, by the way. And they felt like all this year, even in losses, it's kind of been the theme of the show and fight. Maybe if, you know, I don't know. This is probably a different topic for another show, but how much did Georgia inspire the rest of the SEC?
See, that's my pick.
Georgia going up?
Coming up.
Yeah.
You got LSU 11, Georgia 12, Clemson at 17, and a bunch of that's new money. You know, that's how good they've been.
Yeah.
In the previous decade to be all the way to 17th after, you know, struggling around. But Georgia feels like the one that is poised, you know, to knock some of these teams down. If we looked at this in 10 years, you know, Georgia feels like they're going to be in the top 10 to
right.
me. Clemson maybe as well. But Clemson's got a lot further way to go than Georgia does. Georgia's just, what, third? 29 points behind Tennessee at 12th for 10th. If it seems like Penn State, you're right. It feels like in 10 years, Georgia could be ninth. Be hard to catch Texas. But it seems like those others are in the distance for the way what it looks like Kirby Smart's building. All right, that was fun. I love lists like this. It shows you who's winning titles, but you know what else it shows you? Who wins every year?
Who's winning games?
Who wins every year? And that's where maybe I miss.
That's something we.
I didn't think about Michigan as much as what I should have.
You know, fans like from Alabama, from Oklahoma. Even Ohio State, when they're not winning national titles, is a disappointing year. But they fail to see, well, they finished in the top 10. You
year
know?
After year after year.
Year after year after year. But Those don't put trophies in the cases.
No.
And that's what the fans want.
But I think it also shows you, if you look at conference titles, this list would mirror that one.
Yeah.
Who's won the most conference titles?
Clearly.
It would be Ohio State, Alabama, and Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Cool list.
Good off-season stuff.
It is.
And it's only January 19th.
I'm tired of talking about the portal.
Me too.
I'm ready for something to happen, and then we'll talk about the portal. I mentioned at the top of the show, on this day 20 years ago, January 19th, 2002, one of the most iconic moments in sports happened, and not only at the time. You know, it was one of those at the time. It felt like a big deal because we'd never seen it.
Yeah.
But it becomes a huge deal with what happened later. You know, I don't know that when the tuck rule happened in Vinatieri, I mean, we all knew, okay, those field goals he's making in the snow from that far out are iconic kicks. But what does it matter? Okay, the Patriots, now they got to go to Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, and win an AFC title with Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady, who's playing, who's hurt. You know, I mean,
right.
All of that stuff was kind of floating around out there. But it turns out that it was one of the most monumental moments in sports with what transpired with Tom Brady becoming the greatest quarterback of all time, the New England dynasty of six Super Bowls. Now Brady was seven after leaving and winning one last year in Tampa Bay. It goes to show you how fickle some of this stuff really is. An obscure rule that nobody knew at the time,
right,
ends up creating the greatest quarterback of all time and the most clutch kicker of all time spawns out of a rule that nobody even knew going into that playoff game on I believe it was a Saturday night in Foxborough with the snow raining down on top of the Pats and the Raiders.
That was crazy. I remember where I was. Do you?
Yeah, I was watching it.
Do you know where and all that?
Yeah,
at home
my parents' old house.
Yeah. This is crazy. I don't know how or why I remember this. I watched that happen in the Tornado Dome in Clinton, in one of the coaches' office.
Oh, really?
They had a TV on in there. There's basketball games happening. I think that was back during the Clinton shootout.
Probably was, yep.
And it was my senior year of high school. Just happened to be hanging out over there, watching that. And I remember that standing out to me. How big of a deal that was. I thought this could be something big. You know, they're going to talk about this for a while.
I promise I didn't see this when I wrote this topic down.
Okay.
But I just looked up at Twitter, and you know what's staring me in the face?
What's that?
A new 30 for 30 on the tuck rule is coming out February 6th.
Wow, that's funny.
And it's called the tuck rule, the call that changed it all.
There it is.
I swear I didn't see that until just now. That's craziness. But anyway, it's got a picture of Tom Brady and Charles Woodson. Think about that. It was Charles Woodson involved in the play, too.
Yeah.
Two Hall of Famers that were teammates at Michigan. Think about all the things that went into that and what it spawned off with Brady's career and obviously the Patriots dynasty and everything that goes in to the tuck rule play. And gosh, I mean, does, you know, just in the short term there, you know, Gruden's gone. He goes to Tampa, and Tampa beats the Raiders the next year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, if that play doesn't get called that way, John Gruden still with the Raiders? I mean, you know, who knows?
Could that have been
another Raiders-Pittsburgh playoff game, harkening back to the 70s between, you know, Madden and Chuck Knoll?
Yeah.
Stabler, Bradshaw. Instead, it would have been Rich Gannon and Stewart.
Some would say that was the very first time the refs protected New England
and
Belichick.
Tom Brady always gets the calls.
Yeah, they'll say that's when it first started. That play, that call, right there.
I mean, I remember it happening and going, what?
Yeah.
He fumbled. What do you mean, tuck rule? What?
Yeah.
And then people trying to explain it and not really knowing what it meant at the time. Dakota, here's
I haven't watched any.
Drew said MJ returned on this day in 2000 to the Wizards.
To the Wizards.
I haven't watched any of the Man in the Arena. Have you watched any of that?
No, the Tom Brady stuff. No, I haven't.
Dakota says episode 2 covers that game.
I should probably check it out. I pay for the plus on ESPN. I should check it out, I guess.
Let me ask you this. There's a push in my house right now from a 10-year-old kid, and maybe even his mother a little bit, for Disney Plus to add that to our current streaming operation.
What's he like to watch?
Well, he knows how to try to talk me into it because he was looking at it on his iPad. He goes, oh, Aaron, check it out. Yes, or Disney Plus, Star Wars.
Yeah. Yes, they do own the rights to Star Wars, a lot of Star Wars content. Have you seen The Mandalorian?
No.
Buddy, come on.
I mean, is that the deciding factor?
There's been attempts at the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian nails it. Absolutely nails it. Jon Favreau, who's a self-proclaimed Star Wars fanboy, he created it. You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was he in Rounders? He was with Vince Vaughn, or was that? What was that movie? The
Where they go to Vegas.
Yeah. Anyway, him.
God, what is that called? That's Rounders.
Swingers.
Yeah, Rounders is the poker movie.
Right. He created it. Directs a lot of episodes.
He was also in Rudy.
He was in Rudy Bebop, and it has all the Star Wars movies, obviously. The good and the bad.
Story of Boba Fett.
I'm into that one right now.
Big time.
It's a series. It picks up where Boba Fett, after he was thrown into the Sarlacc pit.
And it's right there in the wheelhouse for Dakota.
Has the, I know you're not a Marvel fan, but he likes, Wyatt likes the Marvel movies, it has all those, those TV shows. And of course, man, it has every Disney movie you can think of.
Yeah, Marvel movies. Here you go, getting text messages.
Marvel movies, man. People, if you've listened to the show enough, you know I'm in on that. And here lately, it's been hard to catch up on.
Let me ask you this: does it have the old, you know, like the Aladdins and the
Lion Kings and all that
kind of stuff?
Oh yes.
You know one that I really liked?
What's that?
It's a newer one. Oh,
dude,
man.
It has Steamboat Willie. The very first.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, it has it. I mean, if it's Disney, it has it.
What's the one with the rabbit that became a cop? In the city.
Oh, Zootopia.
Zootopia.
Pretty sure that's on there. Yeah. I like it because, you know, I have an 8 and a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And when I know they're on Disney Plus, they're not watching something that I need to monitor.
Yeah.
It's Disney, for crying out loud.
Well.
Okay. There's some stuff. There's PG-13 movies, stuff like that. But they're just not interested in it. If it's a cartoon, they're going to watch it. I don't have to worry if it's the Family Guy on there. They do have every episode of The Simpsons.
Interesting.
And I'm talking every episode of The Simpsons. So if you want to get nostalgic and watch some of the older episodes, they're there.
Eat my shorts.
don't have a cow, man. So, I mean, listen, when it first came out, I jumped on it, and I haven't regretted it. It's been one of the top streaming services in our household.
Yeah, because I think that, speaking of ESPN Plus, I think mine's coming back up here pretty quick.
February is when the bundle thing.
Yeah, you know how I know it's coming up quick? Because when I check my email that's attached to that account, I get something about the bundle every time. But my question now is, how does that work? Because I have two of the three in the bundle already.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
know. So how do you just
cancel
add
and re-up? I don't know either.
You know, how do you just
That's
add
kinda
that
That's kind of what happened
to
me, because I got one time and then got one the other time. And then they came out with the bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm already paying for all of them. I mean, can I consolidate these all in the one price? Anyways, back to the Disney thing. I think that's, again, because I don't have to monitor it as much as, say, make sure my kids are on the kids' side of
Netflix or something, yeah.
You know, okay, you're on Hulu. What are you watching on Hulu? You can set up a kids' account. Are you on kids' account or in mom or dad's account? You know, but Disney, you don't have to worry about that. I'm like, it's Disney. And even the risky stuff, and this is a little controversial, but, you know, some risky episodes of The Simpsons, like different parts, they'll actually edit it. Like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? And some people don't like that because they want the original stuff, and you know they don't want it touched. But you know, here's a good example. There's a remember the movie Lilo and Stitch?
Yes.
Okay. There's a part in that very early part of that movie where the kid, I think Lilo, is hiding from her big sister, and she gets into a dryer. Okay, you don't want your kids getting into a dryer.
No.
That's not a good idea. Well, they edited that part and made it look like she was just getting in a wicker basket.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Just little, so that it doesn't give like kids that. An idea of, hey, yeah. I think I'm going to jump in the dryer.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Very interesting. It's funny because the last week and a half or so, you start seeing those commercials as we're watching stuff, and it's like, yeah. Hey, I want that.
I think you'd enjoy the Star Wars stuff, the original content stuff, The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett.
My only concern with this is I'm agreeing with you 100% about that stuff. But my concern is we get it, and it's out of my control. Meaning, hey, let's watch The Mandalorian, and I get X-nayed 2-1.
Yeah.
How about if we watch Sing? I don't mind Sing. Seen it, though.
Yeah. No, I have to find my time. I had to find time to watch it.
One of these days, we're going to, I don't know, I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know about anybody listening. We may have to do like a top five Disney movies of all time list.
Get the kids involved. Yeah. But my kid, she knows who Baby Yoda is off The Mandalorian. Everybody's seen the toys and everything. And we were putting together a Lego set of the Baby Yoda. She goes, Dad, what is this from again? I said, Star Wars. Well, what movie? Is it a show? I was like, yeah, you want to watch The Mandalorian? No. You've never seen it, but here we are playing with the toys.
It's kind of like handing Wyatt a golf ball and go, hey, you want to go hit this? Oh, look here. I get to go play golf. Let's see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
It's fine work. All right, everybody have a great day. It's going to be windy and cold. We'll stay bundled up.
Yep.
Head coach Zach Maynard of the Big Elks football program in here tomorrow, 9:30.
It's going to be a good show.
It is. Then we'll have to rush down. I'll have to rush down to Altus after that for Elk City Hoops. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.